Good evening, everyone, and welcome to a Fireside Chat. This is Lance White, and I'm your host tonight. My guest this evening is Jock Brokus. Jock is a professional psychic medium who wrote the book Powers of the Sixth Sense. He has been a top security consultant and teacher of the Japanese martial arts. He has also worked throughout the world as an undercover agent, and I'm sure that we'll be able to get some interesting stories out of him tonight. And if anybody has any questions for Jock, be sure to call in on the toll-free numbers, which are on the front of the BBS homepage. So let's welcome Jock to the show now and see how he's doing. Hello, Jock.
Hi, how are you doing, Lance?
Good. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you fine now, yes.
Okay, good. You've had quite an interesting life. Were you psychic as a child, and when did that all start?
I've always been psychic. I mean, I've always had spiritual experiences since I was a child, since I was young. But in all honesty, you know, when you're a young person, you never really understand it, and you don't
yeah.
really know what it is
yeah.
until later on in life. And with the environment that I was brought up in, I couldn't really talk about those types of things. And I used to spend most of my time in a religious monastery. My uncle was a monk.
Oh.
So I had a great deal of spiritual experiences from about the age of 7, maybe even younger.
Where were you born and raised?
I was born in Lanark, not far away from Glasgow in Scotland.
Oh, wow. I have some Welsh blood myself, but I don't know how much of it is I have.
Well, my wife is Welsh.
Oh, is she?
All yeah.
right. Maybe we're related in distant past.
She's from Swansea.
I saw a picture of you guys, and you looked really charming together.
We are, yeah. We're very much in love.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love to hear that. Now, before you were married and the rest of it, you had quite a wild life as an undercover agent, didn't you?
Yeah. I had a bit of a... I wasn't your normal everyday psychic that came through the mill and then ended up using their gifts. I'm afraid I had to go through rather some heavy mischievous stuff beforehand.
Yeah, why don't you as much as you can share about your experiences? I'm sure some of it's probably still classified or you wouldn't want to reveal it, but as much as you can, would you share some of those experiences that you had as an undercover agent and so on?
Yeah, in relation to using my vibes, you mean
yeah.
using my sixth sense? Yes, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I left my family at the age of 16, and I joined the military. And in the military, I started to utilize my sixth sense, not necessarily knowing that it was a psychic thing. Just
uh-huh.
to me, it was just understanding energy, and from my martial arts training, understanding the energy. But I used to be able to certainly sense spirits around me in barracks, in old barracks and things, you know. And then many occasions when I was on maneuvers, I was able to utilize my inbuilt intuition to keep us out of trouble. And normally it would just be a kind of, I was well known for having bad feelings about things, you know, or being able to know things about other people, which was quite strange to some of the other lads and some of the other soldiers. But then moving on from that, you know, as I kind of developed more and started to understand more of what it was about, when I did undercover work, there was many times where it had saved my life. On one occasion, there was actually bad intelligence that came through, and I was supposed to go and meet a couple of international criminals at the time. And unbeknownst to me, they had set up for my demise. They were going to kidnap me and take me away and shoot me.
Ooh, ouch!
So I actually had on that kind of. The morning that I was supposed to get ready, I really felt bad, you know. I felt
uh-huh.
sick for no reason. The hairs on my neck were standing on end. Everything was going wrong. My radio wouldn't work. The car broke down. Everything from the universe was telling me not to go. And I didn't actually realize this until I got in my car and I drove towards the place I was supposed to go. And all of a sudden, I just had these visions in my mind that something horrible, I could virtually see what was going to take place. So I decided to call it off and not to go there. And coincidentally, later on, it was revealed to me that I was a very, very lucky person because my superiors couldn't get in touch with me in time. And if I had gone to the RV point, which was a rendezvous point, then I wouldn't be here today.
Wow. Well, you know, that's a good example of how important it is to listen to our gut feelings or our intuition. Can you elaborate on how we can tune into that? Or, I mean, I have the same thing that you have. It's like a gut feeling or an uncomfortableness when there's something wrong. It doesn't always tell me when something is right. But how do people learn how to interpret this and use it?
Well, I think the first thing is we need to explain to people that it's not all about just being able to tune into negative energy and being able to understand that something bad's going to happen. We can also use it for the benefit of ourselves, and we can use it for the good of others and the highest good of other people to make their lives safer, to make their life better. So I think the first example I can possibly give to everybody has experienced it, even if they come on and tell me that, you know, tonight that they haven't, they have definitely experienced it. And it can be a simple thing as imagine walking up to someone, shaking their hand, and you get this sensation and this feeling that, I don't really like that person, I don't know why, but I don't really like them. And what's actually happening there is your aura is in the negative polarity to that other aura. So it's the same old adage, you know, like attracts like. And if you're of a like vibration, then you'll attract like things towards you. But if that person has a negative vibration or has something that is not vibrating at your rate, then there's a negative polarity. There's like a mismatch there, if you like. So when we approach people, we overlap our auras, and we can tell this very easily. Now, we can actually use the same kind of idea with dealing with any situation. You know, we can actually learn to increase our auric field, and we can learn to pick up the subtle vibrations that surround us. And it's a very easy thing to do. And it just takes just that little bit of knowledge. And the first thing I would start to say to people is learn to meditate, and not necessarily sitting in a corner with their legs up round their neck or over their head and humming some unknown mystical chant, you know?
Yeah.
We can all meditate in our own way, and we don't necessarily have to follow the rules and regulations of the ancient mystics, you know? I teach a lot of my students in my classes to even meditate when they're going jogging, before they get into sitting in silence and sitting and trying to raise their vibration more. I teach them just very basic things. For instance, I'll tell them, go away, look at a flower, or look at the nature, and write a paragraph, or write a kind of an essay on what it means to you. And what they don't realize is that they're going away, they're sitting in silence, they're starting to contemplate on what it is they're supposed to do, and that is them entering into that first state of meditative journey. And then we can take it one stage further. We can, you know, add in a little bit of music. We can start to just build up things slowly. And it doesn't need to be hard. You know, people can do it 5-10 minutes a day or even 3 times a week. But I think that is the first stage that people need to really try and get to be able to enhance their intuition to a higher degree. Essentially, every individual in the world has got natural inborn intuition, and we need to understand, I think we need to tell ourselves and we need to believe that we are spirits in human form and not human in spirit form. And the paranormal is no longer paranormal, it's normal.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You know, and it is, and we can use this, and everybody uses their intuition every day, they just don't realize it.
I was just watching a show last night. We have a television series over here called Ghost Whisperer, and it's about
James Van Praagh's one.
Huh?
James Van Praagh's Ghost Whisperer.
Yes, exactly. He's one of my favorite psychics.
Yeah,
and, you know, I'm telling you, when I watch one of those episodes, there isn't one that I watch that I don't start crying at the end. It's so well done. But is it very similar to that? I've never seen ghosts, but you said you've seen spirits before. What's that like?
Well, I have to be honest. When I was a young kid, I saw spirit a few times when I was in the monastery.
Uh-huh.
And when I was in, you know, heavily laden energy epicenters, I would see them and I would feel things. But later on in life, remember, I had a military career.
Right.
I was in an environment where you couldn't talk to people about it. And then later on in life, really later on in life, spirit appeared to me at the bottom of my bed one night, and I must admit, I frightened the living daylights out of me. You could find me the very next day running to the closest spiritualist church to find out what had happened.
Wow.
But, I mean, it was quite a frightening experience for me. But then, you know, I recognised that it was something that was natural. And to be honest, for all these people and all these psychic mediums out there that say, yes, I had it since I was a child and it was amazing and I developed my gift and everything else, I think all that's, you know, a little bit of egotistical, because a lot of people, yeah, they do have it when they're children. They forget about it because of the constraints of normal life surrounding them.
Yeah.
And they develop it later on in life. And it comes back with a vengeance later on in life. And I think we have to be honest with ourselves and recognize that we still have to, you know, lead a normal existence.
Uh-huh.
And when it came back to me, that was my start of my my journeys and my studies all over again. But I must add that even though when I was in the military, and ever since I was a young kid, I always studied spiritual aspects of things, and my martial arts took me in that on that journey as well, you know.
Uh-huh. What were some of the spiritual teachings that you were exposed to as a kid? What was it that kind of got you interested in all that stuff?
Well, you know something? I'll be perfectly honest. I was brought up a Roman Catholic land, okay? But the spiritual experiences that I was getting was telling me that what the priests and what, you know, the teachers were telling me was a lot of rubbish. Because I remember, you know, sitting in religious education and arguing with the teachers and saying, no, that's not right, because I feel this. I know this deep inside of me.
Yeah.
And I've probably experienced things that they haven't experienced.
Uh-huh.
So I was a very argumentative student when it came down to religion and when it came down to spiritual matters, because what they were trying to thump into my head as a Catholic boy,
mm-hmm.
and to be a good Catholic boy, I was thinking, no, this isn't right. There's more to it than meets the eye.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm almost living in two worlds. So how can it be the way they say it is? And that actually led me on to studying many other different religions and many other spiritual and esoteric sides of Eastern philosophies and things. To try and get answers. And I think we're always on a journey. We're always seeking, and we always try to get answers. But we never ever really land to the answers, because when we found the answer to something, it brings us up a whole new element that we need to go and find out the answers to. And I'm terrible. If I don't know something, I want to know what the next one is.
Oh, me too. Absolutely. And then the moment you know that, then it's like, oh, gee, now I realize how little I know. And then that takes you on another journey. So it's like, you know,
you're forever journeying, aren't you?
Yeah. And religion seems to be a stepping stone for some people, and other people it's a place where they arrive at. But, you know, everybody has their own path. So, you know.
Exactly.
It seems important to let everybody do their own thing, you know, and we're so busy arguing and trying to convince everybody that they should be doing what we're doing. And I haven't seen too many people whose lives I really want to emulate or be like. So.
No, I mean, I think I remain very open, Lance, and I think that everyone should remain open.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's an interesting thing, because I have various students that come and train under me, and they're from various different religions and backgrounds.
Yeah.
And they always come up and ask me questions, and they ask me different things about spirituality. And I have to tell them that we should never follow one particular path. We should always keep our mind open, and we should respect everyone else's beliefs.
Yeah, yeah.
And we should learn from everyone else.
Yeah, absolutely.
And forever be the student.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It seems almost like the old metaphor about the spokes of the wheel. You know, there are a lot of different spokes, and they all lead to the same center. So, you know, if you follow one spoke, well, that's one way to do it. You might follow 10 or 20 or 30
exactly.
or more.
And this is one of the things I tried to get across in my book. I tried to make, when I wrote the book, I tried to make the book non-denominational.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to make it a book for every single person
mm-hmm.
to understand that we all have these abilities, and that spiritual leaders and psychics and mediums are not special people.
Mm-hmm.
We're just normal people, and everybody's exactly the same as us.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a little bit of a gripe, you know. I don't like, you know, psychics and mediums that are very egotistical and try to make themselves special,
mm-hmm.
when
yeah.
in actual fact we're no different to anyone else.
Oh,
we
yeah,
just perhaps have a deeper understanding of spiritual matters, in which we should be sharing that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let's see. What do I want to ask you? Now, how many years were you with the military, and what kinds of experiences? You had to leave the military after a while, didn't you, because it got to be too intense or too much against the realm of the spirit for you?
Well, actually, I left out of medical grounds, but when I went into my next career, which was, I worked as a bodyguard. And I was very lucky to work with Her Majesty the Queen Mother.
Oh, my.
And, yeah.
Wow.
I've worked with some very international names. I've worked all over the world, including I've worked with Richard Branson and many different business executives and top-class people from various industries. But
what's the Queen Mother like? She seems like a wonderful person. I mean, you just can't help it.
Well, she was. I mean, I must admit, when I was only there for a very short space of time on one particular operation, and I mean, she's passed now. But when she was here,
yes, the Queen Mother, yes,
the Queen Mother, she's passed now, but she was lovely, liked to tipple, liked to have a good.
A good time.
A good gin and tonic. Or
yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure that's how she stayed alive for so long.
Yeah, oh yeah. No
but
doubt.
She was lovely. She was very nice and quite a spiritual lady as well.
Well, yeah, you can just kind of sense those things.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, this is the thing. I mean, I've always been lucky to be able to sense things about people, which is always... kept me on the right side of things. You know, everybody makes mistakes in life. I've made mistakes as well, where I've allowed my conscious thinking to block my natural intuition,
mm-hmm.
and got me into some trouble. But on the other side of the fence, the other side of the coin, Lance, is I've used my intuition very successfully,
mm-hmm.
and saved not only my life, but saved the lives of other people as well.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I want to share with people, is that, you know, read the book, learn from it, recognize that, you know, psychic ability is not just about, you know, what you see in the media, that we can use it in our everyday life for a more pragmatic and a more practical avenue,
mm-hmm.
and we can reduce the risks of terrorism, we can reduce the risks of abuse, of rape, of violence, of you know, bad things happening. And we can make this world a safer and nicer place to live in, because it's a beautiful world, and we need to appreciate that. And if we make it a safer place, better for everybody.
You know, I guess there's a lot of stuff in your book that is quite helpful with, you know, self-protection and a lot of wisdom and a lot of good writing. I've been enjoying it. Let's talk a little bit about terrorism. What about these people? You were exposed to some of the bad guys. Are there bad guys out there?
Yeah, I mean, I will talk about an example now.
Okay.
But I have to be very careful what I say. But I worked on an operation once where I had to infiltrate I'm going to say an international criminal organization, but it's really based on terrorist lines. And I sat with two members of this organization
mm-hmm.
in a bar while I was dealing with them, and I felt horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I felt not me feeling evil, but I felt there was evil that was permeating around.
Mm.
And the energy was heavy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And even when they spoke to me, it was just like arrows and daggers that were coming towards you. Mm. And all I could see in my mind was that these people were responsible for the loss of many, many lives.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is I could also sense that they had attachments to them.
Mm, yes.
They had other spirit attachment that was there, which made me feel really uncomfortable.
Yes, can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think I've been reading a lot about that lately, that there are entities that will attach themselves to the soul, and that, you know, maybe the soul isn't necessarily bad or evil, but due to these attachments and the influence and people making the bad choices, like you said, you can sense the density of what they're
doing.
Yeah,
you can. Now, what I want to do is I want to put my point across and not say that nothing's wrong.
Hmm.
But in my belief, in my opinion, is the entities do not attach to the soul. For the simple reason is the soul belongs to God.
Ah.
The soul is a divine spark of the divine power of the divine Christ light of the Great Spirit or whatever people want to believe in.
Ah.
So the soul is the most pure part of every spirit. That we are spirits and we house our souls.
Okay.
And that is a divine part. So it's impossible, really, for a negative attachment to attach itself to the soul.
Okay.
Because if it attached itself to the soul, then that would be the end. There would be no coming back from that.
Well, what body do they attach to? Is that the astral body?
They actually attach to the auric field.
Okay.
Right? They'll attach to your etheric part of your aura. And what happens is now, let me see it like this. Imagine if you take a magnet and you put some pins on a table,
uh-huh.
and you attach the magnet, and the magnet attracts the pin. That's because the magnetic polarity is the same.
Ah.
Now, if someone's of a negative disposition, Lance, if they have negative vibrations in them, if they have got that makeup,
uh-huh.
they will then attack, they will attract spirits of that disposition.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
So that is like a traffic light system. That's like the green light for a negative spirit to come in.
Now, uh-huh.
I'm actually a bit of a, I've studied exorcism ever since I was young, and I was trained by the Catholic Church in exorcism.
Oh, okay.
And
it really happens, doesn't it?
It really does happen. And the thing is many, and it's very frightening, and many mediums and many psychics and many mystics will deny the existence of evil.
Uh-huh.
Or will deny the existence. Now, we can't deny it because we can only look around our world and we can see it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
How can you deny something that you can actually perceive with your own physical eyes?
Yes, yeah.
Now, I was on a radio show a couple of years ago, a very well-known show, with Hilly Rose. Do you know Hilly Rose from Fate Radio?
I don't think so.
He's the chap for Fate Magazine and Fate Radio.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know if too many people.
I was called in as an expert witness after the murders happened in Texas.
Uh-huh.
For Fate Radio on whether there was a case for psychological disturbances, or there was a case for possession.
Ah.
Right?
Okay.
Now, there is five stages of this. So imagine a negative attachment gets attached to someone's auric field.
Okay.
And they allow that to be, they allow themselves to be controlled. And, you know, you hear about people saying, well, I heard voices and they told me to do it.
Uh-huh, right? Yeah.
So we're at a very fine line between schizophrenia and proper schizophrenia that has been tested by medical doctors, and there is a balance there, or we're at a very fine line of spirit attachment and also possibly oppression and possession. Now, the second stage of a spirit attachment is what's called oppression, where they oppress the person and they try to get more of the kicks out of them, and they try to control them a bit more and work with their mind. Now, that is then a gateway for something really, really bad to come in.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Right? So it all happens through the aura.
Huh.
And it can also happen, now that is why as well, buildings and things can house these spirits. If there's negative auras, negative vibrations that are there,
uh-huh,
they'll be attracted to that vibration. And this is why we learn to clear energy,
uh-huh,
to utilize the ancient rituals such as sage spirit, sage ritual. And we can recognize as well as psychics. Now, I've read a little bit about yourself, and you're also a psychic healer. So you will recognize when you talk to someone, approach someone, or even if someone might have a spirit attachment there, you can feel it because it doesn't resonate with you, and you can maybe feel the vibrations, and then you'll get a clairvoyant image.
Yeah.
Or you'll hear your guide talking to you and warning you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you have to take the requisite precautions to deal with that.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's something else that I've noticed, too, and you might be able to elaborate on this a bit. There are some people who are very, very skilled at presenting a certain image, and yet their spirit has multiple attachments, and underneath it, as you said, at the auric portion, they're completely different people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you notice that drugs and alcohol play a part in that?
I'm glad you said that, because that is one of the main things that will get someone, and that is how... now, when drugs and alcohol are used,
mm-hmm,
they have a negative effect on the auric field.
Mm-hmm.
They reduce the amount of energy and the amount of magnetic attraction in the magnetic field.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, the energy gets a lot heavier, a lot denser,
mm-hmm,
and it's easier for an attachment to get in, especially if it's a spirit who likes to drink and take drugs.
Yeah.
And I've been in situations where I recognized that someone was being controlled by a spirit,
uh-huh,
and not actually being controlled by their own volition.
Yeah.
And I've seen it time and time again. Now, I worked as a bouncer on a door for a while, a doorman.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I did that just to get experience of life and get experience of things. And I could say that probably 90% of trouble that was started from the other side of life.
Ah.
And the alcohol and the drugs have a negative charged effect on the auric field, and people can portray a particular way about them, and they can portray, you know, what they are, but deep inside their auras tell a different story.
Yeah.
You can look at someone. Now, this is the great thing about psychics, and this is the great thing about using your intuition. You can look at someone and see what you perceive with your own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look deeper to their aura and to their spiritual makeup, you can see an entirely different story.
Mm-hmm.
The aura will never lie to you.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell also by talking to people, for instance, like on the telephone, if there's... I notice that I tend to sense a positive connection when there's good energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, your energy is terrific.
Thanks. Energy is there is no time and space in the spirit world. So So it doesn't matter in distance, and I've proven that scientifically by doing blind, double blind, and triple blind readings from thousands of miles away.
Huh.
So is my wife. So energy, what I try to teach my students, and they look at me, they think I'm crazy when I say it, you know, when I say, look at that wall or look at that building and recognize, look at it and see what you perceive with your eyes, and now understand that it's just an illusion.
Yeah.
They kind of look at me and they go, huh? What do you mean? You're off your head. And I'm not.
No, you're not.
It is an illusion because it's atoms that are vibrating at such a tremendous rate. Now, if we understand that everything is made up by this particular energy in the universe, it stands to reason that there's no time, distance, space, or anything that can stop us from picking up that information, or perhaps picking up other information.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people, the good thing about my wife and I is, and she's an author as well, and she's fantastic with her vibes. Her new book's coming out soon as well, called Feel the Vibes.
Uh-huh.
And she's, we do a lot with, when people phone us up for reading, we turn a lot of people away.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that because you can sense that they're...
Because we sense that they don't need them.
They don't need it.
We can sense that they're doing... They're only they're not taking stock of their life.
Right, right.
They're either only interested in the reading for just, you know, entertainment.
Superficial purposes.
Superficial, exactly.
Yeah.
Whereas when Joanne and I, when we do readings for people, we do it for healing purposes. Reading should only be done for healing purposes and for proving the existence of life after death. And helping people to come to terms with grief, to know that their loved ones are still alive.
Yeah.
And when we do psychic readings, it's for people that have lost their way in life. So one thing that we don't do, we don't go to people's houses, and we don't do parties, and we turn a lot of people away. And probably out of 10 people that contact us for readings, 5 will be lucky to get a reading.
Well, you also have to want to know the truth. And don't you find that a lot of people don't really want to hear the truth about their lives?
They don't. And you know something? I have got a reputation. They call me... I don't know if you've heard of a guy called Gordon Ramsay.
No, I haven't.
Like Gordon Ramsay is just... He's a Scottish man, but he's just over in America now, and he does this Hell's Kitchen.
Okay.
He does a show, and he's very direct, and he swears at people, and he shouts at them for not doing their job right. And well... I'm kind of known as the Gordon Ramsay of spiritualism.
Okay.
Because I'm very direct to the point. I tell them how it is.
I like that.
Sometimes I can get to people. Most of the time, I can get through to them very quickly because I shock them. I'll tell them what they need to know and not what they want to hear. And I allow spirit to control that because sometimes I feel like that. People go to psychics and mediums for readings, and psychics and mediums sometimes skip around the truth and don't want to hurt them, and because they're maybe charging a fee or whatever they're doing, they want to give value for money. Now, look at it this way. If someone is going down the wrong path in life, if they are in so much trouble that they really need help, is it better to tell them what they're doing wrong to change it? And then to help them change it, or to tell them that everything's going to be fine, don't worry about it, this is going to happen for you, and that's going to happen for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
We need to be more direct, and I tend to be quite direct. And
well, I like
tend
that.
To be quite controversial as well.
Oh, good. Well, that's terrific. I like people like that. You mentioned life after death, so I'm assuming that you also believe that we, as spirits, exist before we are born, which would lead one to wonder about pre-birth lives or incarnations.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit and what you found about that?
Well, I was fascinated with this subject, and I did a past life regression. And because I'm very scientific as well. Now, for those that have maybe that have listened to me before and other radio shows that I've been on will know that I'm also a research medium, so I get involved in the science side of things. And scientifically, I wanted to test out this past life regression stuff. And I went and I had a session and I studied it for a long time before I'd, like I do with anything.
Uh-huh.
And it, Lance, it was fascinating.
Really?
I was a, I had two lives.
Uh-huh.
That I was tuned in, that I got tuned into. One where I was a samurai in Noda in Japan.
Oh, that makes sense.
Which is understanding why I'm perhaps drawn to the Japanese way of life and the Japanese martial arts. Now, the person who was doing the regression knew nothing about me.
Wow.
And this was the scientific part. I never told them anything.
Wow.
So they were spot on when they took me back, and I saw the life that I was going through at the time.
Wow. What was the other life that they got to?
I was a Viking.
I've been something like that myself in the past, supposedly. That's
fantastic.
The only one I've been told about.
Yeah, well, I thought it was fascinating because I have this warrior persona because I've studied warrior, obviously warrior craft, for 26 years. And now I'm understanding why I did it is because in my past lives I was a warrior.
Yeah.
And one life, apparently, there was another life that someone told me in regression on that I was a woman at some point, and I didn't like the idea of me being a woman, so I never listened.
Well, you know, I think that's like the idea of the different spokes on the wheel, that in order for the soul the spirit to gain experience, we have experiences in various incarnations of both sexes. And
yeah,
a lot of people talk about soul groups that keep incarnating with us, that one lifetime your father will be your brother and your sister will be your aunt, and that we switch roles and play different roles in each other's lives, but that there are certain key players that we continue to incarnate with that we love each other very much.
Yeah. I've got a great deal of a lot of the people that I meet, for instance, I came back, I lived in America for a while, and I came back to the UK, to Scotland, and I opened up a training center here. And incidentally, I'm coming back to America to live.
Oh.
And I actually met this man who I had an instant feeling that he was part of the same soul group that I was in, many lives before.
Yeah.
And we just clicked. And I think we do that with a lot of people.
Yes.
We recognize at a soul level that we have been incarnated with them before.
Yes.
And that we're part of their soul group. Now, I think that's how we really develop close relationships with people that are around us at that particular time. And some people stay in our lives.
Yep.
In order to teach us lessons and then disappear, and then we have to move on and learn new lessons.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
And some people go.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've had situations where I bumped into somebody at a grocery store. There was a woman one time, and she seemed to have this glow around her. And we just smiled, and we started a conversation, and I said something about her being an angel. And when she left, it was like we'd known each other for eons, and I never saw her again. And I think that people come into our lives, well, like you, for instance.
Yeah.
We might have had a soul agreement before we got here to do this radio show. Now, we might do another one and we might not, but, here we are.
Well, this is it. And this is, I think, I don't ever believe in coincidences.
No.
I believe in synchronicity.
Yeah, absolutely. And everything is synchronous.
Everything is.
Everything, yes. And there are no accidents.
No. Accidents,
no.
I mean, there's always a reason.
Yeah. We may not know it or understand it or grasp, but it's, yeah.
Well, it's funny this, because I suffer from acid reflux, and I have done for years, something terrible. And it got worse after I had a car crash a couple of years ago with my wife. And she was studying some healing. She's writing a new book on healing in a couple of years' time. We're studying this healing thing. She says to me, I'm going to read out what it says about your acid reflux in relation to your spiritual development. And, and she read out the fact that I was impatient, I was too controlling with my spiritual life, I wanted to keep controlling everything. And whilst I didn't like what I was hearing, it was me.
Yeah. I have that occasionally too, and it's kind of uncomfortable. And you're absolutely right. Those are very valid things in my life for sure.
Exactly, and you know. And that's what it is. And I think that there is no accidents, and there's no such thing as coincidence. We have these things because we need to go over these lessons.
Yeah.
And I'm terribly impatient.
Yeah. Oh, me too. Me too. Absolutely. And don't you feel that people that have illnesses that recur, that are problems, that ultimately everything is a spiritual lesson that we need to pay attention to? I've seen people heal miraculously when they've paid attention to the spirit.
Yeah, my mother is a stubborn old mule, and I'm sorry, Mom, if she's listening, but. She's a stubborn old mule.
Oh.
And I tried to tell her that she's riddled with arthritis. And
yeah,
really, she's only starting to recognize. I've told her many times, I said, you know, Mother, you're so stubborn. You don't like yourself.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're one of these people that You're always worried about. You're living in a state of fear constantly about finances.
Yeah.
She's very self-critical about herself.
Oh yeah.
And this is, and while I try to explain to her, you know, this is manifesting.
Yeah.
Physical ailments.
Yeah.
And you're going round in circles. And if you could only recognize that this is what you're like, and that you can change it. And people that are listening out there tonight, that are listening to the show, what I want to say to them now is, if you want to change your life, you don't have to look at changing your life 10 years down the line, 5 years down the line. Make the decision now, this moment, from the minute you hear myself and Lance talking, you can make the decision right now to change your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all it takes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's totally. I'm so glad you said that. You know, and you know, in the past, I've noticed for myself. I've said, well, when this happens, then that I'll do this, or I'll change it when such and such happens. But we can change instantly because, like you said, we're non-local.
Yeah, exactly.
We're non-local. If the walls aren't there, now I'm going to sound crazy too, but you know. If we're really non-local and we're everywhere at once and we're spirit, then we're already there. We don't have to wait. Why would we? Why would
exactly.
We have to wait?
Listen, we can heal anything in our lives.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything can be healed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the problem is that, you know what, I think the problem in this world, right, is now, even when I talk a great deal in one of the chapters of my book, I talk about... in the Powers of the Sixth Sense, I talk about fear. Now, fear to me is just an energy that we can learn to control. But it's born out of materialism. I believe it's born out of materialism. Because in this world, we are very materialistic. And I remember talking to the editor, I had a phone call with the editor of Body and Soul magazine the other day, and she was chatting to me, and she said, I want to ask you some questions, Jock, I need to get your opinion on this. And I said to her, you know, the problem is, you're asking this, and she wanted to know about intuition in relation to the people developing from a business point of view. And I said, everyone is governed by time. And even now, when you've got email, telephones, and all this technology that's supposed to make our time a lot easier, it's making it worse. Because the more material we get, the more we are governed by time. And then I watched a program on the TV, and I saw, I was watching an ancient tribe in the Pacific somewhere, actually. And they were so happy. And the scientists had gone up to the chief and they said, we want to give you machinery to do your water. We want to give you this now. How useful is it to give a tribal leader in the jungle a tractor to help to farm his land. Where is the use in that? There's none. But it looks materially beneficial.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But give him a knife or a blade that he can work with for many, many years for each tribal leader of his village.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have something that's of use. And this is one of the things that he turned around and he said, I don't want your clothing, and I don't want money, I don't want nothing from you, because we're happy, and all our villagers are happy, and we have food,
mm-hmm.
and we have, and they live in huts in the trees.
Mm-hmm.
But my God, these people's auras are so strong, so beautiful, and so happy,
mm-hmm.
because they haven't been poisoned by materialism.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we're just, over here in America, and I guess all over the world, in big cities, we're just like rats in a maze. And we
yeah.
run faster and faster. It's like the Alice in Wonderland. You have to run faster to get nowhere.
Exactly. Why do we have terrorism, materialism,
mm-hmm.
greed? Why do we have people that are murdered and killed, greed, materialism? Because
yep.
they want something more.
Yep, and the corruption comes out of greed, which is, again, materialism.
Exactly. And what weapons?
So, yeah.
We have our own spirits, our own souls, and our own intuition.
Yes.
To be able to fight that.
Absolutely. And don't you find that it's really, that people who have strong auras have a better sense of self-love and that they're more open in their hearts?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. I'd agree with that 100%, man.
Yeah, I think that's really important, you know, because when you talked about those people in the bar that were like daggers, I could sense that, you know, you probably didn't sense much from their heart. There wasn't much compassion there or conscience.
There was no compassion.
Yeah, yeah.
They had, I mean, how could, you know, you have to touch people's souls.
Yes, yes.
To bring them back to the light. And it's very difficult when there's no compassion and there's just blackness around there.
Yeah.
You're in a battle. And at the end of the day, you know, my job was to gain intelligence and to try and control these people.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, I came out of that type of work because I couldn't handle it anymore. Spiritually,
yeah.
I couldn't handle it. And that was why I left.
Does it seem like things are getting out of control these days because of that?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say there's the more that people lose the spirituality and the spiritual path, the more things get out of control.
Yeah, yeah.
Because too many people, and saying that as well, what I want to say in contrast, then there is a great shift going on in the universe at the moment, and there is a lot more light workers coming into the world, and people are now beginning to open up to a more spiritual way of life.
Mm-hmm.
But we're only at the very first stages. We're at the first ice cube in the iceberg.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we've got the rest of the way to go.
Yes. Do you follow some of the ideas about 2012 and the shift in consciousness that's going to occur?
Well, I have to be honest. You know, I'm one of the first people that will say, you know, if I understand something, I understand it.
Yeah.
If I don't, I don't. And I want to understand it, but I don't.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
And it's one of these things that people have asked me in a few radio shows, that like, you know, what do you think about 2012? And sometimes I think, well, I hope I make it to that.
I know, me too.
So, I mean, I know myself as a psychic, as a medium, because it's almost like living in two worlds, because you're able to perceive both worlds. I know there's a shift in consciousness, so I don't actually need to really understand the Mayan calendar the shift that's happening, because I can see it happening for myself and I can feel it in the energy in the earth. But I don't actually know a great deal. I don't know a great deal about it. I picked up a book today in the bookshop and I thought, and it was about the 2012 thing, and I thought, you know, I must get that and read it. But I didn't.
Well, you know, we'll find out as the years progress, I guess. One thing we probably would agree on, though, is that the world is definitely going in the wrong direction on many levels.
Well, look, let's put it this way. You know, this sounds really silly, but if the world was going in the right direction, I wouldn't have needed to bring out the book that I've just brought out.
Right.
You know?
That's true.
And I wouldn't be, you know, I wouldn't have chosen before I was incarnated on this earth to go through all the troubles and all the heartache and all the things that I saw in life that I didn't like to experience to enable me to write that book to teach other people. If we were going in the right direction, I wouldn't need to do that.
It's true.
So it's definitely that we're going in the, that we're heading in the wrong direction. And I just hope that perhaps, you know, the book that I've written out there is maybe a little aspirin to help ease the pain just a little bit.
Well, I'm glad you're here, and, you know, like you said, there are more people incarnating that are of the light workers, and there are also beings from higher densities that are here to help us out. I'm sure of it. You probably run across that periodically yourself, that there are, you know, entities that are here to help us get through these moments.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I believe in, you know, I believe in our guides and our angels, and I believe that we're guided, and we have, there's a great shift in transition, especially within the angelic community. And I myself are actually, I deal with angel healing, which I haven't, I've actually channeled directly from Raziel, and I haven't actually got it from anywhere else but the angelic realm. And I've been working with that for a couple of years now.
Wow.
And scientifically, I've been working with it for a couple of years now.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I've had some amazing, amazing successes with it.
Huh.
And I've kept it very, very secret. Very secret until now.
Until now, yes.
Yeah. But what actually happened was I was asking about, you know, healing. A friend of mine had gone down with cancer. And I was in meditation. My wife and I, we meditate regularly, and I was in meditation. And over a couple of weeks, I kept on seeing this angel. I kept on seeing Archangel Raziel, and he kept on giving me symbols and telling me things. And I got to the point where I thought, I don't believe this unless I get confirmation.
Uh-huh.
And I came out of meditation one time, and my wife turned around and said to me, and I hadn't told her nothing.
Uh-huh.
She said to me, you were talking with an angel today, and this angel, and she described the angel, and they said that there's another three symbols coming to you. I told her nothing about these symbols.
Wow.
And that was my confirmation. Now, over the last 2 years, I've studied that, and I've written it up in a journal, in a book, and I've worked with these symbols, and I've trained another two or three people with this. And helped to work with this particular type of vibration.
Mm-hmm.
Which is tremendous, straight from the angelic realm. So I know that the spheres of angels are closer to the earth.
Oh yeah. Does it feel as if the veils between the different realms is thinning a little bit for us?
Oh, definitely.
That's what I think too. I feel
the veil's getting thinner and thinner.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe there's another book coming out. Maybe you've got the beginnings of another book for people about the angelic realms.
I actually have, yes.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
It's going to be very cool. I've got two books at the moment. I've got one. My second book's nearly finished and ready to go.
Oh, good.
And it's called The Powers of the Soul.
Oh, that should be wonderful.
And it's the second in the line, and I'm afraid it's very controversial. It's It actually talks about various ancient scriptures, and including the Bible and all other scriptures, and it analyzes the fact that a belief that Jesus Christ,
uh-huh.
although being a divine being and being a prophet and being the Son of God, as we are all children of God, was in fact an amazing psychic medium and healer and a human being.
Oh, yeah. That would make sense.
Yes, and I've gone into this in tremendous detail.
Oh, yeah.
And I've studied a lot of different scriptures. And I've debunked a lot as well, so it's nearly ready to go. I'm in talks with people about that at the moment. And the third book is actually, is working with the angelic vibrations. And what it says is that you don't have to go and spend $1,000 or $2,000 to go in a workshop to learn how to talk to your angels when all you need to do is open your mind and your heart and your mouth.
Wow, I love that. I love that. That's how I believe, too. Go direct, you know, cut out the middleman.
Cut out the middleman.
Yeah, exactly.
I went on one of these courses with a very famous one that I won't mention in case I get sued. But
right,
I'm sure
don't do that.
And quite frankly, they taught me nothing that I hadn't already known.
Yeah. Don't you feel like we know that we have the information, all the knowing inside us, if we just go in and scoop it out?
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly it. We know everything already.
We
just need to tap into that universe.
Yeah, and the more we're looking outside of ourselves for it, the harder it is to get, because we're not looking in the right place.
Exactly. No, I love one of the statements that you've got on your site. I think you've got it on in an author's forum where you say, look outside the box.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we really need to do, is start
outside
the box.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I can't believe this hour has just flown by on angel wings. You have been wonderful to talk to. Make sure that the listeners know about your website and where they can get a hold of you and about your book.
Okay. My website is actually called www.jockbrokus.com. That's jockbrokus.com, jockbrokus.com. My book is called The Powers of the Sixth Sense, How to Remain Safe in a Hostile World, which is actually turning into a TV show.
Oh, wow. It's fantastic.
It's been picked up by a major TV network in the States.
Oh, congratulations.
So it's all very hush hush. I'm not allowed to say which network it is, but there is an opportunity there, and they're in the process of turning it into a show.
Wonderful. Well, I've enjoyed reading your book, and I can't wait till your next one comes out, so you're going to have to make sure that I get a copy.
Definitely, a signed copy over.
All right.
Did you get the hard copy, Lance, or did you get the...
I got the soft copy.
I'm going to send you a hard copy.
Oh, thank you, Doc.
I'll send you a hard copy. A signed one for you and your wife.
Oh, well, I don't have a wife, but maybe for my little dog. She's my
wife. Oh, your little dog. I'll send you one over.
I think she might have been a partner in a previous life or something. You know, the angels come in many guises.
Definitely.
Sometimes with four legs or, you know, paws.
Oh, definitely.
Well, Jock, thank you very much for being on tonight. I had a great deal of fun talking to you, and I hope the listeners enjoyed it too. And best of luck with your book, and we'll talk again.
Excellent. I hope so.
All right.
All right, Lance.
Good night, Jock.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.